Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about, yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
How is life, Philip?
Oh, you have surprised me. You surprised me with a new greeting.
I'm doing well. It's good to see you and good to be back here. Like you, slowly starting to reopen the public aspect of our worship and ministry and moving along. So how is life for you?
Life for me, I'm very tired. I have no problem admitting to that. We've been doing many things. And the times, obviously, everybody knows we are living very, very interesting times with COVID and the aftermath of George Floyd's death. It's been an emotional time in many ways. But at the same time, I feel stronger in my priesthood than I was 3 months ago. So when I look at the last 3 months, I'm annoyed also because it's difficult. What you were saying, opening up with so many measures in place and having to have so many meetings to put it together, it's not easy, but I like a challenge, so I'm okay.
Yeah, it's been an opportunity to come back not as the same parishes, but better parishes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying as best I can to be real careful about what we add back. Here's this opportunity that we've had here for a fresh start, and what could we perhaps add back or subtract so as to, in the end, be much more faithful to our mission and to better parishes. So that takes a lot of mental energy and just doing things differently. As you mentioned, you know, as parishes, especially as priests, we've been kind of running the ship for these months now. We've not been off time, not been any vacation. It's a lot. So now the public aspect comes back. I've got a big, big backlog of baptisms at my parishes. We're rescheduling weddings and some funerals that we need to make up on. So
early on the crisis, when we, like 2.5 months ago, I'm addicted to podcasts, and I did listen to one who is a church. He's a Protestant. He's an evangelical, I think, but he's into business and organizing churches and everything. And he said very clearly, this is a great opportunity for churches to review what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we've done that, I think. And I also, at the beginning of the COVID situation, I did tell my people that it was an opportunity for us to choose how we wanted to come out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I meant individually, as parishes and as society also. So it's been a trying time, but still a Kairos time, a time of opportunity, I believe.
So as we talk about this, actually, I think this is really a nice segue into where we are in the liturgical year right now and the readings that are going to be coming up now really until Advent, which is now a truly ordinary time that started 2 weeks ago, but we have those solemnities of the Holy Trinity and Corpus Christi. But now we get into the heart of ordinary time, which is following the ministry of Jesus, really the everyday ministry of Jesus here through the Gospel of Matthew, which we'll talk about after I read it. But that ministry of Jesus. And I think it's a good time for us to reflect on really those basics of parish life, of individual life, as we literally pilgrimage with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't I read the gospel and then we'll talk.
And we're reading from Matthew's gospel, chapter 10, 26 to 33.
Jesus said to the 12, Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you have whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father. What a great set of words from Jesus there.
Mm-hmm.
So if I may just explain a little bit of context, you know, what happens in ordinary time now as Matthew's gospel is presented is something that is really interesting in that the ministry of Jesus is presented in a really organized fashion. There are five discourses of Jesus, which will take one, two, three Sundays sometimes, depending on how they're split up. But it's preceded by the Sunday or two before that on a little narrative that sort of precedes kind of this major discourse of Jesus. And there are five of those that run through ordinary time. One of them, the Sermon on the Mount, is a good example of that as passed already. And these other ones come up. But it's just as a little bit of a type A personality, I enjoyed sort of sitting down and realizing that this is really organized the way the ministry of Jesus would be presented here in ordinary time. So here we're in really the missionary introduction of Jesus as he commissions the 12 apostles.
So I don't know how you call my personality type, but I'm certainly not a type A, I guess. I'm type Z. The message from Easter that resonated the most to me this year was don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. Do not be afraid. And now we go to ordinary time, and it begins with a gospel that Jesus starts saying, fear no one. But then you read the gospel, and if you have something to hide, then you should be very afraid. You know what I mean?
Right.
But if you are a person clean of heart, like Jesus proclaiming the Beatitudes, then that's when he tells you shouldn't worry. You shouldn't be afraid of anybody, especially those who can kill the body but not kill the soul.
Right.
But I think it's an amazing gospel because of that, because if you live in darkness, then you have to be very afraid. Jesus is telling us, I will deny you.
Right.
Somebody will kill your soul. It's to be very fearful. But if you are a person clean of heart, and you kind of are, right, Philip? I think we are fine.
But there's even more that I agree with you. But what's great is there's even more than that. So Jesus says in many places, of course, in the gospel, do not be afraid, fear not. But here he says even a little bit more in saying, I'm going to give you what you need. So not only don't fear, but really don't worry as he goes into a little bit more of you go out into life and you're going to be persecuted. I'm going to give you what you need. And it's a richer explanation of do not fear.
And I do agree. But what Jesus is really saying is trust God. If God takes care of insignificant birds, you know, trust God. And didn't we talk about this a couple of weeks ago, that belief and trust is the same root, right?
Right.
And Jesus is telling us, trust God, because your life, anything, is under God's control. So let's trust God, yeah.
It's trusting God, but it's also the demands of discipleship. That's what this whole chapter 10, a little bit outside of what we've read today as well, communicates from Jesus. It's the demands of discipleship, which are going to include trials. And even to connect with what you said, I know this is going to sound a little strong, but I think it's true, and I'm not sure we can deny it. But I think as Christians, perhaps this is one of the areas we've failed a little bit in how quickly we run into anxiety, how quickly we succumb to fear, but also how I think we haven't kind of taken on really those demands of discipleship and those expectations that there's going to be trials, that our life is not going to be an unconfronted life. This is one of those things that we run away from. As I look at sort of the issues in Christianity, the issues in the world, too many people adhering to this gospel is not the problem. You know, understanding in some ways, not always in deep ways, perhaps, the call to love one another. That's something where I think you can say, all right, we get that, and we know where we fail in that. But I look at this gospel and do not fear, be ready for the demands of discipleship. I'm not so sure we've been successful at that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Or would you say, are you disagreeing?
I think it makes total sense. Do you have access to the first reading?
I do not in front of me, but it's from Jeremiah.
And it says, be careful about those who will call for disaster everywhere. And yeah, exactly what you were saying.
Yeah. So one of the things that happens as well here, there's a lot that happens in chapter 10 in Matthew's gospel, by the way. So what happens just before this is the 12 apostles are named, which is interesting about Matthew is there's no call. In Luke and Mark, there's a very specific Jesus calling these 12 men and naming them to follow him. But here these apostles are just named. And in fact, Matthew very rarely, possibly not at all at any other point in the gospel, I'm not positive about that, is going to use the word apostle. And what happens is he kind of conflates, in a sense, disciples and apostles. Today we understand disciples to be any intentional follower of Jesus Christ. And an apostle would be those very specific small group of people whom were called directly by Jesus.
With a couple of exceptions.
Yeah, and were almost always alive during his time and then sent out.
With St. Paul and St. Barnabas and St. Matthias.
Right.
There would be three that would be considered apostles by the church. Yeah.
Correct.
But I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a little bit of an observation, and I don't know if there's tremendously deep point to be made about that, but just notice that in Matthew that disciples and apostles are sometimes sort of grouped together, because it is a question we get. I know we get it from kids and from adults as priests sometimes. What's the difference between a disciple and an apostle? So here's an opportunity to explain that. Anything else that perhaps is standing out to you about this, or you're thinking about as you're looking for over to this weekend?
Well, it's the idea of Jesus telling one more time not to be afraid, and whether you want to call it apostles or disciples, that's probably something that we all need, more courage. I believe these times have been a constant appeal on people's courage, I believe. You could be very fearful, you could be, as priests, we could be very fearful to preach the gospel at this point. Sometimes we are afraid of losing parishioners if we say anything that goes a little bit into telling people what to do or what to think. And I think it's a good message not to be afraid and to be real disciples of Jesus.
What's been coming to mind the last, actually since Pentecost, so for the last few weeks, and I'm reminded of it again, is the call to go out into the world and to live our lives. I'm having a growing sense of urgency within myself, but really among others, to say, you know, there may be reasons that good health reasons that we sort of stuck inside, but, you know, we can't remain hidden and fearful and stuck inside. We're called to go out into the world. And sometimes that requires risks, and it requires risks of our health. And, you know, the more, as you can tell, the more that this goes on in that area, the more irritated I'm getting. But it also, I think, is very contrary to go out and live your life. You know, we've been given a life, the energy and the protection of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And here the Lord says, be not afraid. I think, in a sense, this is a little bit of a countercultural challenge to the way that we've sort of lived over the last 3 months and beginning to sort of change, hopefully. You may disagree with me on this.
Well, I think freedom and action can happen in a very physically restricted way. So I felt like the last 3 months were an opportunity to me to find new ways to be a priest to my people. So I do see what you are saying. I do think that Jesus is talking about our souls and less about our ability to be out in a real way. So just a reminder that Matthew is the gospel of the Beatitudes. After the Beatitudes, Jesus says, be light and be salt of the earth. I think that's what you are saying as well. Whether or not we reflect directly about the shutdown and things like this, that would be up for discussion. But I hope you agree also that freedom and action may very well happen without the physicality of it. It's also Father's Day this Sunday. We should mention that. Congratulations to all parents.
That's right.
What's your father's name?
Alan. And Richard for
Ricardo,
you.
Ricardo Senior or Junior in Spain. Yeah, we have the same name. I've explained this many times. I've had a very confused childhood because we never knew if mom was calling me or calling my father. And
all right. So, by the way, if I were to draw a map of the last 10 minutes, it would be all over the place.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So I think we have enough to work with. Yeah, I agree. We've been a little bit over the place, more you than me. But I will see you next week, Philip.
All right. I'll see you next week. Have a good day.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.